Spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. That means more comfort and less baggage. Experience how Allbirds is redefining comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com, code SUPER24.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast pit stop coverage of Amazing Race Season 35, Episode 323, Joel and Garrett. I serve as your humble and also gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this exit interview from the Amazing Race Season 35. If you could be so kind to ensure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to subscribe. And as always, with your Purple Pants Podcast pit stop coverage, you can watch this audio podcast on video. Just head over to YouTube, type in Bryce Isaiah, click subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and let us know in the comments how much you love you some Joel and Garrett. Brooke and I are so excited to speak with Joel and Garrett about their experience on The Amazing Race, how they stay so positive all the time, how many jobs they had between the two of them, and if they are actually going to take their wives on their anniversary trip. We are really excited to talk with them. Brooke and I had the opportunity of meeting them in Brooklyn last week, and the love that Garrett and Joel poured into Brooke and I was truly amazing. So I'm so excited to get to chat with Joel and Garrett. So listen, let me stop talking and let's get into this interview. And keeping our Purple Pants Podcast pit stop coverage of Amazing Race Season 35, Brooke and I have the honor and privilege to talk with one of our favorite teams. And we are so excited to have you two here with us. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing good.
So good to see you again. Yes. It feels like we just saw you at the finale party.
Almost like it was yesterday.
Almost like it was in a little bit today, actually, if we're being honest.
Yeah, still feels like today to me.
But now we're back in Idaho, and we haven't slept since then.
Wow, sleep is overrated.
Yeah.
How are you guys? Oh, sorry, no.
Yes,
you,
no. How have you guys thought of your overall arch of the season? Brooke and I have been huge supporters of you guys. And I think one of the endearing facts that we love about you is that even when you never knew your place in the game, you always kept playing like you were in last place. And that was something that I think a lot of the fans connected with. How do you feel about how you guys were playing?
You know, when you made me think of something I haven't even thought of when you asked about our arch, because our story arc or whatever, because we didn't play a perfect game by any means. And if somehow I could step back in time and redo the whole thing with him, except we actually know everything redoing it that we know now, that would make for a very gratifying run, because then we would just kick butt at everything. But that's not what I want. I am so happy that we did it the way we did it, that we sometimes stumbled through it, sometimes dominated through it, but always played with our heart, always were there side by side with each other. It was, I looking back at it now, I can't think of a better way for this whole thing to play out.
And we really learned a lot about each other and a lot about ourselves. And so I wouldn't change it either, because then you would miss out on those opportunities that we learned. And so I loved every second of it. I mean, I feel like the way that it was portrayed is how it was, and I wouldn't change anything. I mean, I would love the first
You wouldn't
place.
Change anything?
I would love the
okay.
first
I was going to say, you'd probably change that. One thing.
Brooke is correct. If I could change only one thing, it would be two kayaks with very similar names being placed in different holders. And that's it. Nothing else.
Speaking of those kayaks, be honest. How long did you stand there before you decided? Because we saw Garrett say, are you sure that this is this one and this is that one? And Joel's like, I'm sure. And you know what? That's fair, because when I'm sure of something, I'm sure of something, even when I'm not so sure of something. But how long do you think you stood there? Because the final was so close. I can only think of one closer in race history, but it was so close. That do you think you spent more than 2 or 3 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I swear we got there 30 minutes ahead of Greg and John. We almost had the entire thing up when they started. And then once we had it up and called our first check and it was a no, we had to have been there at least 30 minutes, maybe 20, 30 minutes.
Yep.
Before we finally fixed it.
It took a long time. We did something stupid. Well,
we did a lot of stuff stupid.
But when we realized that we were wrong, when she said we were wrong, we started focusing on all these little stupid details.
These small things that, but I'm an overthinker. So that's what I do. I look for every little thing and I think about maybe it's this, maybe it's this. And so, you know, that's when we raised the kayaks up one level, thinking, well, maybe it has to be at the top and then the next one.
We hadn't had a kayak. There was a kayak that's handle and it's on the ground. And we're like reaffixing the handle.
We just got to put the handle back up. That has nothing to do with this challenge, but. But we snapped that handle on and called for a check. They didn't even bother.
We kept calling for a check. I mean, in all fairness, I give you a lot of credit, because I'm sure as fans of the race, I know Joel talked about the fact that, you know, the race got him through, you know, earlier times and deployment, so on and so forth. There has been a team where they were correct on the final challenge and didn't call a check and lost $1 million, because all they needed to say was check. And so I am a fan of the overcheck. So I appreciate everything you just did. I appreciate your self-awareness on the race. To hear you both say, you know, to look at us, people might have counted us out. You look at us, we don't look like we're the strongest or the fastest. You are preaching to the choir, gentlemen. I mean, I lived vicariously through you. I called Joel because he talked a little bit more about the positivity, or at least maybe that's how it came across in the edit, that you were my spirit. Annalie was my spirit animal for beasting through things. You were the spirit animal that I need to become a more positive person in life and not let the frustrations get to me, because you kept it very humorous. You said most people would probably have gone insane by now looking at the locks, and it was so endearing and so heartwarming that if you listen, you know, and if you don't, you'll know now that you are very much among fans who were so supportive and said multiple times, well, I want these guys to win. I do it for the 40 somethings. And that's what I had hoped for. And, to that end, we heard Garrett speak a little bit about what you wanted to do with the money for your daughter, Brinley, and getting a service dog for her. I have heard a little bit that there is a movement in place, which I very much would like to be a part of and will support, both with my voice and with my checkbook. But I would like to hear a little bit about what the plan is to try and make that happen.
I want to say that we didn't know at all. When we talked about what we would do if we won the money, we didn't know that people would latch on to that. In fact, it blew me away when we started hearing all the people on social media reaching out and sending both of us messages and saying, how can we help? How can we help? This is such the Amazing Race family is such an amazing family. And I talked to Smythe about that a little bit, and he felt awkward about it. And he said, I don't want to ask somebody to take money out of their own pocket for me.
I'm one that I don't like people having to give stuff to me. I'd rather help somebody else out and give something to somebody else. So it's hard for me to accept something like this, but with all the messages and all the outreach and all the, you know, everything online talking about, they want to do this for my daughter. I mean, I've been emotional anytime I think about it. Like, it's crazy to me how much people are reaching out and wanting to be a part of helping her get a service dog.
And how would people do that?
I created a fundraiser, and I'll give you the link to it. Or you can just go on our Instagram. If you go to Joel and Garrett, our Instagram page, our team Instagram, it's linked in our bio. And it's linked in my Instagram bio too, Joel Nert. But I knew he wasn't going to do it. He loved the idea, but he wasn't going to do it. I'm like, I'm doing it. It's done. And very early this morning, I published the fundraiser, and it's already taking off. And I am so, my heart is warmed by that so much.
And Bryce and I spoke, we're going to link it as well to our podcast so that anyone and everyone who listens can be a part of it, because it is, it's Garrett, you can tell that you are the type of person where if somebody needs your help, you will happily do it. So I think that's why there's been such a movement. You can just tell by seeing you and speaking to you and hearing how you speak about it, then let people help, because it sounds like you would do the same for people. So everybody's listening, every little bit will help.
Yeah. And I think that that's one of the reasons why Brooke and I love you guys so much, is that like your friendship radiates through the screen. When you are weak, he's strong. When he's strong, you are weak. And I think that that is like such the friendship that we all need to see in the world. Do you feel like your friendship helped you get through the game? Do you feel like you were able to lean on each other?
I have no doubts about that. Like we were talking about this just earlier today. If I had been with anybody else, so I'm the slower one of us two, and I just cannot run long distance. My knees were starting to hurt me, you know? And so I'm slowing down, and Strasser is pulling an Annalise saying, come on, dad. But she's calling me Smythe, or he's calling me Smythe, but come on, Smythe, come on, Smythe. And so I'm trying to push, but it's hurting me. But I'm thinking, even in that moment in Ireland, as we're running around in Sweden, as we're running around, I'm thinking, if I was here with anybody else that was saying, come on, keep going. I'd be like, no, screw you. I'm not going to keep going. Like, I don't know what it is about him.
Sounds like
but I'm just like, he says, keep going. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for Strasser, you know? And I mean, just our friendship is just so close that there's nothing he can do that hurts me.
We saw during parts of the season, it became sort of a running joke. You had to do the rice paper or crepes, and you were like, ran a crepery, or, you know, you carried sugar cane through who knows where and whatnot. It just happened to be, I say that if you stay on the race long enough, there will be a task made for you. I sang opera in college. There was a singing opera and Italian thing. If you let girl was a rock climber, we had to climb a rock wall. So it seemed that every task was sort of something you had dabbled in at some point in one of your lives in the first four decades. So what do you feel that your previous lives have helped you in the race? Or the better question is, do you feel that was there a detour or a roadblock that you saw that you didn't do, that you were like, oh, I could have done that because I have previously done it before?
The hay.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up on a kind of a farm. We had cows, we had hay, we irrigated, we moved hay all the time. And so when I saw that there was a hay roadblock, I was like, let's do that. I know how to, I've worked with hay much of my childhood, teenage years here in Idaho. Well, then Smythe mentioned that.
I love honeybees. I would love to be.
He was a beekeeper at some point, of course.
I wasn't, but I want to be. I have researched it and looked into getting the stuff to become a beekeeper. But I mean, I love honeybees. And so luckily he let me talk him into doing that one instead, because I really enjoyed that detour.
And I'm glad we did, because that one was so fun.
I will say, though, the serving one that Greg and John did, Strasser speaks fluent French. He lived in Belgium. He would have nailed that one, no problem. I'm glad the clue did not say anything about French in it, because we probably would have done that one. I speak no French at all. So there might have been some sort of barrier between us as we were trying to do the challenge. So I'm happy with our decision and what challenge we did. But that's one that potentially we could have knocked out because of his language skills.
But gosh, smashing all that stuff at the recycling center was so fun.
It was.
I'm glad we got to do that.
I would like to know, Joel, could you please explain to the listeners and viewers the scientific method in the beard compass? Because it seemed to always lead you in the right direction.
My beard knows. This poor beard, it's been through so much. I abuse it so much because I break world records with my beard. I just broke my 15th Guinness World Record with my beard just a couple of days ago. I'm good at holding things in my beard, and it's abuse. Like, we broke a record a week and a half ago where he was one of my witnesses, one of my official witnesses. And how much beard did I lose during that?
It was with pipe cleaners, which those kind of grip the hairs a little bit when you're trying to pull them back out. So yeah, he lost a little bit of beard on that one. I feel bad for him.
I feel like my beard and I have a good relationship. I abuse it sometimes, but then I don't know. Maybe this sounds like a horrible relationship because I abuse it a little bit, but then I take care of it and I give it really good oil and balm and I give it what it needs. So in that moment in Slovenia, I needed to be guided to a fountain. I had no clue where it was, but Smythe knew that my beard knew where the fountain was. So I just let it guide me and get me there.
That's amazing.
I definitely have to say it's well moisturized. I can attest to it that it is oiled and well moisturized.
Sometimes moisturized with tears, unfortunately, I found.
Well, you were a pleasure to watch. It was a joy to see you. Would you do it again?
No question. 100%.
I would love to go back and do it again.
Somebody prompted me to think about this. I would do it again even with no prize. If there was no prize at the end.
Yep.
I agree with you. The prize is nice, but it's such an adventure and experience. Yeah. And I would love to watch you do it again. I would love for the outcome to be slightly different. I loved everybody, but there was this place in my heart for the 40-somethings who grew up reading real maps, which I believe probably made your navigation skills superior to everybody else. And I just want to say thank you for keeping it light and happy and giving us, you know, just a little bit of faith in humanity.
Thank you.
Thank you both. I'm so glad we got to hang out last night too.
Yes.
I mean, wonderful.
It was so fun. And watching Joel on live the whole night was the highlight of my night. Okay. Everywhere I looked, Joel had his camera. He was there. But it's been such a pleasure to meet you guys, hang out with you and get to know you. And I am sure we will see you guys soon. And we will make sure that we share the link below in this podcast. Yes. But again, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you guys so much. You should be so proud.
Ladies and gentlemen, world record holders, Garrett and Joel Strasser. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.